This is the fourth greatest holiday of the year, right? You got Christmas, Easter, then Father's Day, and then Mother's Day. No, I'm just kidding. Every year I tell that joke, never really. Anyway, we're going to talk about mothers. I'm taking a little break from the series on basic training. We'll be talking about the blood of Jesus next week. Pick up there, so don't miss that one. That's something that we really need. If anything, the church has become anemic in many ways, because a lot of people don't know about the power that's in the blood. And so we're going to make sure we cover that. But anyway, I felt led to this morning to talk about mothers a little bit. Everybody's got one, right? You know, right? We all had to have a mother to get here. And I've just, you know, especially in years of pastoring, you know, that I have, you know, being a mother is not the easiest job in the world. Does anybody say amen to that? Yeah, but it is the most rewarding. I believe that. Even when the kids are being a little annoying, you're still, you know, have that blessing and love that you have for them. And as we all know, the world that you and I live in can be a little bit complicated. You know, things have changed over the years where it's not so easy, you know, perhaps to be a parent or let alone a mom. And, you know, in our culture, we have a lot of single moms. And that even makes it harder yet. So how we navigate through that, you know, we got to find a way. And I believe that we continually need to look to God's Word to help us to navigate through the troubled waters of life. You know, you just can't throw in the towel. I mean, I know when you have, you know, especially some kids, you know, that are looking up to you, you know, you have to, you know, get ready and go and just do it, right? The Calvary sometimes doesn't come, do they? You know, like the old Westerns. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, just do it even if you don't feel like it. And that's sometimes what we have to do. So the passage the Lord laid on my heart is talking in Psalms chapter 18, verse 31 to 36. And I encourage you women to write this down and kind of meditate on this passage here for the next few days or week or so. And this is a Psalm of David. And David was speaking here, and I think we can really get some, glean some good things from it. A message title is called Mighty Women of God. And if you're a man here, just change the word woman to man. You know what I'm saying? Just make it work for you. And David starts off here in verse 31. He says, "For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend the bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the power that's in your word today. Lord, I pray for a special stirring in each of our hearts, Lord, that we know that we want more. You know, we know that you've called us to soar in 24, Lord, and we believe that we're going to be the people that rise above the circumstances. I thank you that you've given us authority. And Lord, with that authority, you know, we have everything that we need to be able to overcome the evil one, the one who comes against our life to try to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, I thank you. We know that you came to give us life, and I pray for that life to be here right now. Lord, that same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, just quickening our mortal bodies. Lord, I thank you. I yield to the gift you've given me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for always words to both pierce and penetrate our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be talking about mothers today. And this passage here, I think we can relate to in the sense of, you know, the world that we live in, that we have to fight the good fight of faith. Now, a lot of times when we get into a battle, you know, we can't take it personal, can we? Have you ever let your emotions get the best of you? So it's not an emotional battle that we have to wage, but it's got to be a war of faith. Something that we do based on the Word of God. Now, I was raised on a farm, as many of you know. And, you know, one of the first lessons that I learned on the farm, there was a few, but I learned this one pretty quick. You never get between a mother and her babies. Has anybody ever learned that one? You know, whether it be we raise cows and we raise sows or pigs. And I just learned that, you know, they may be all warm and friendly until something's happening with the baby. I've been up a fence a time or two, you know, just to get away because, you know, things didn't go quite according to plan. And so I have learned that, and that helped me when I pastor. And you probably learned, sometimes you just got to be careful getting between a mom and her children, because they're going to protect their kids, you know, and that's just the way it is. And we have to see that warrior spirit also. It's not just a threatening from just personal attacks that are close, but, you know, there's a devil. That's the one who's behind a lot of these attacks in our life. And we have to be able to recognize that and to be overcome. So we're going to break this down verse by verse. Just going to bring out a few little points in this, just hopefully to help us in our battle. Psalms 18 verse 31 is the first one. And it's talking about, it says, "For who is God but the Lord, and who is the rock except our God?" We need to remember that Israel was surrounded by people who worshiped foreign gods. Gods were chasing after, that people would chase after idolatry. Israel always had a lot of problems in their life. You know, even though they had a good king, most of the good kings, except for maybe one, never dealt with the high places. The high places where people would go and they would offer sacrifices up to these false deities. Even though they might go to temple, you know, and worship God, they would still go to these other places and worship these false deities. And see, that's something, you know, that we have to be aware of. But, you know, we figure out who our God is. And there is no other God but the Lord. You know, a lot of people believe in plurality in the things, in the sense where, you know, there's a lot of things out there they can believe in. But a good godly mother knows that there's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. And that's what they instill to their children. And they pray for their children and understand, because there's no other way to go but through Jesus Christ. See, Jesus had revealed himself to us in a special way, and we need to understand that's what God's like and the love that he has. Now, Jesus always, he didn't like religion. Other than that, Jesus loved sinners. He loved to help people, loved to be a part of their life. And that's what I see, you know, with women, that nurturing spirit. And we're going to that in a little bit here. Now, David, he was a warrior. He had been anointed to be king. But yet, even though God had called him, because Saul had, you know, went off and did bad things and he was going to be replaced, David was under attack. David was on the run many times. It'd be like our government would be after you. Let's say God called you out to be the next president. Well, this president here may not like you being called out that way. So he sent all the armies after you. How would that be? Be a little over intimidating, wouldn't it? That's when you really, really find out who your God is. See, we can live life in basic times and raise our hands and say, "I love you, Jesus." But what do we do when things are falling apart? Who do we cry out to when things aren't going our way? See, when stress is applied, it reveals what's inside of us. And that's just the way it is. That's good, though. Because when we're under pressure, when stress is being applied to our life and some things are coming out that we're not proud of, well, don't beat yourself up over it. But say, "Hey, just know I got to get rid of this in my life." That's what repentance is for. That's what the blood of Jesus is for, which we're going to go over next week. You know, just how powerful it is to be able to set us free. So David knew the importance of not chasing after all these idols, because he was in a situation that if something went wrong, the enemy was going to get him. They was going to put him to death. Saul, the king, had tried to kill him several times. So I believe, especially River Life women, you know what I mean? I have a special heart for River Life women in a godly way, you know what I'm saying? You know, but these women are prayer warriors. They will fight the good fight of faith. And they know how important it is to stand between the devil and their children and not let him have them, not just give up on them and throw in the towel. Right? Amen. So, mighty women of God protect their families from the idols of this generation. Now, I'll tell you what. When you tell your children, and I think most of you have found this out, when you try to tell them that something that everybody else is doing isn't good for you, you have lost the biggest popularity contest in the family, haven't you? You're not that popular a person no more. Unless they, you know, they'll come around after a while. That's the good news. After being around a while, you kind of see the cycle of things, how kids maybe get mad at you at a certain age, but then when they get out of high school, it seems like they come around for the most part, and they start to see that, hey, you weren't as dumb as I thought, right? Because you all know you're not as dumb as the kids think you are, right? You know, they just haven't figured that out yet. But see, so we need to stand in the gap and not give in. We need to protect our family. You know, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's what the Christian Bible says. And I know there's a lot of other choices out there that the world tries to give you. And it may be cool, you know, in the world's eyes to maybe accept all these other things. But I'll tell you what, we have to stand our ground. There's only one God, a true God, and that's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to make sure that we, our children understand that. The next passage goes in to be a mighty woman of God. In verse 32, it says, "The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless." Okay, there we see two things. You know, God will gird us. He'll wrap us with his strength. I know that sometimes things can get a little overwhelming. Things can get really hard sometimes. And I know there's several times in my life, especially when I couldn't do it anymore. I'd had enough. You know, I was tapping out. But see, that's when the God of strength, God's strength comes into our life. And see, that's something that God wants us to learn, is the fact that sometimes we can't maybe do it all. As a matter of fact, we can't. But God will give you grace. God will give you strength. And it's that strength that's going to help you to overcome. And to be somebody that, you know, your kids are going to look up to you and just see the example that you have. Because that's what they're looking for, is a godly example. And it goes on to be, it talks about being blameless. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. You know, there's nobody that's perfect other than Jesus Christ. But that word blameless is talking about being complete, not lacking integrity. So integrity is one of the most important things that we can be as a parent. And it's not popular, but you need to follow through with your word. Because that's, it's going to be hard. But what I've learned is when you say you're going to do something, if a kid does this, this happens, you got to follow through. Because if you don't, it's going to really weaken your position as a parent, your position of authority. And so it may not be the most popular, but to walk in that integrity and just say, I've always told this story, one of the pastors that married us, like I said, it took two of them to marry Denise and I. You know, one of them couldn't get her done. We had to have two. But no, we had two different guys we really liked, so we chose them. But he, one of them told us, they was all sitting around the kitchen table eating, and they were spankers. How many is a spanker in the church today? Praise God. Everybody's got, you know, I know some people don't like spanking, but you need it. You know, like Jason said, you know, at least, I suppose on their birthdays, you know, his mom took the thorns off the bush, you know. My mom didn't even take them off on my birthday, you know. That was just, you know, I remember her spanking me one time with a yardstick. And, you know, it broke every time. Till she caught me laughing. Yeah, has anybody ever made that mistake? She caught me laughing. And she went and got another yardstick. And it was a little bit thicker than the last one. And she turned it sideways. That one didn't break. That one didn't break. I still remember that day. That one didn't break. But, you know, it's just hard sometimes to follow through. But that pastor, they was sitting there eating the table, and their kids were getting bickering with each other, and they got in trouble, and they knew if they did that, they was going to get spanked. And they were sitting there at the table, and all of a sudden the kids started to cry. And then, what's wrong? Kid says, you don't love me. What do you mean we don't love you? You didn't spank me. Because they told him, we love you, so we discipline you, so you stay out of trouble. And the kids interpreted that as when the parents didn't have the follow-through, that maybe didn't really love them. And I know that wasn't true in the sense the love was there, but the fact is that to be a person of integrity, we have to follow through with our word. Our word is our bond. Our kids need to know that when we say something, it's gold. Right? It's gold. You can count on this. Because when I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, no matter what. And so that carries a long way when it comes to, and it stops the enemy from trying to bring doubt and division, you know, in the family, because, you know, that's really what he tries to do. The next verse in verse 33 is talking about having good traction. We need traction sometimes. Bible says in verse 33, he said, he makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me up on high places. Now, a hind is not a word that we use today very much, but it's talking about a deer. It's talking about a deer. Has anybody ever watched those shows? I kind of like watching Planet Earth, you know, sometimes, and you kind of see all the different animals and critters and things, but you ever watch them mountain goats or deer just go up them mountains? It's almost not quite straight up, but I mean, it's up there. For whatever reason, they just take, even when they're, right after they're born, it seems like within a week or so, they're just scaling these big mountains. But see, God has equipped them with the right things that they need to do that. He's given them hinds feet where they can get traction and they can overcome obstacles that you and I wouldn't even think of trying to tackle. And that's one gift that I believe that God's given mothers. God's given you, he's equipped you with things that you can overcome many of the obstacles that I believe some men wouldn't even want to tackle. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because I'm a man and I know. There's things that my wife does, and she just does them with a servant's heart that, to me, is kind of an inconvenience. But she just has that special grace, and she's able to do that. And you could probably think back of your own mothers, some things that maybe she's done in your life that would help you to overcome some of the obstacles. So those cliffs are sharp, and you have to watch your step. And I'll tell you what, if we don't know how to watch our step living in this world, it's going to get us in trouble. Has anybody ever made a wrong step? You know, you've made a wrong step and maybe you stumbled. Or maybe you've got into a situation where you made a wrong step and you stepped on somebody's toes. You know what I'm saying? You know? And those things kind of happen. But here, God's saying how he's equipped them. So I believe, ladies, that God has equipped you to go higher. And you need to see that. You know, you may be content where you're at, but God has a higher place for you. And you say, I can't get up there. Oh, yeah, you can. God has equipped you to be able to get there. You just got to see it and you got to grab a hold of it and believe that God can do it through you. Because if you could have done it on your own, you wouldn't need God. But see, God sometimes puts us in situations where he wants us to grow. He wants us to be stretched in a place where we need him so much to be able to get to that next level. I believe all of us, men and women alike, have another level to go to. You know, but sometimes we, you know, I'll be honest, sometimes it gets real comfortable in a certain place in our walk with him. Things are kind of flowing. They're really good. And then all of a sudden you feel kind of a stirring on the inside. You know what I mean? And God's saying, hey, I think you can get up there, You know, I when I was in Denver, the first year or so I lived out there, I took a mountain climbing class. And, you know, that's kind of a thrill. You know, you climb in the mountains and things like that, and you have these little protections and all this thing and this rope, and, you know, sometimes you do free rappels off of things 80 or 90 feet in the air and just hope the rope was long enough. You know what I mean? When you get to the bottom, wouldn't that be a drag? Get down there and you're about 20 feet and ran out of rope, you know? But I mean, you know, it's just amazing what you can do if you just go ahead and try. You know what the biggest thing in life that holds us back from greatness? It's fear. It's fear. Because fear will stop us from trying. Fear will cause us to play it safe. And we need to get overcome that fear, whatever's holding us back, and to be able to get to that next level. Because there's more blessings up there. There's more there that God wants you to have. And we need to see that. And to do that, we're just going to have to utilize our faith and overcome the concept of do not limit yourself with limiting beliefs. Because what has happened is the fact that we allow people to speak death into our life. We have allowed people to speak lies into our life. And God forbid, but sometimes that happens from people that are supposed to love us. People in our family. Sometimes our spouse can speak those words of death, those limiting beliefs, saying that you can't, when God says you can. And I really believe that not until we get out there in an area where we know we need God, are we ever really going to find that out, how big our God really is. And we need to accept the challenge. I'm not just saying willy-nilly, just go do something crazy. But if you know in your heart, if you know that deep down inside that God wants you to another place, not another church, just kidding. God wants you at another level, you know, well, that's a good thing to try. Because God's in it. If you feel that stirring on the inside, that's God. He's wanting you to get to another place because he has something there for you. Because that's what we find out, that we're here and, you know, God has called us to be an influencer. And we're going to go into that in a minute. But I'll tell you what, some of the influencers in this world are pathetic. Some of the people that our young people are chasing after is ridiculous. I believe the greatest influencer, one of them, is a godly woman. Amen? A godly woman. That's the influencer that we need on our children. And we need them to be able to do it with a reckless abandon, in the sense that they just know that they're just out there on that water with Jesus. Amen? It's walking on water. Next passage, and I promise to keep this brief today, amen, is in verse 34. This is one I like. It says, he trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Okay, this is a mighty woman of God. God has prepared you for war. Now, a lot of times, we'll let the men go off and do it. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of godly women who get down on their knees, especially, and they'll fight that good fight of faith. There's a lot of praying mamas that have prayed their kids out of hell. You know, God has trained our hands for battle. We are called to be warriors. You know, I've come to realize with my personality, I'm not the kind of guy that you're going to ask to go camping with you for a whole weekend. You know, it wouldn't be that fun for you. But I'll tell you what, if you're in a war, I'm the guy you want in the foxhole. Because I know how to fight. I know how to fight the good fight of faith. And I've learned it. And I'm willing to share how to do it. Because we can win, because we've already won. And so that's what we need to instill, that God trains our, we don't need to run away from the devil just because, you know, some people get all scared, oh, the devil, but, you know, God has given us authority over him through Jesus Christ. It's not based on, you know, anything we do by ourselves, but it's based on the authority that Jesus has given us. And that we can fight that good fight of faith. We can speak words of life. We can overcome them, words of death and all those things that's overcome in our lives, that's tried to put us down or maybe tried to pressure us into a certain situation. But God has called us to overcome. He's trained us for battle. We can fight that good fight of faith. And we can be able to win and start winning in life and starting to see success after success after success. Oh yeah, there might be a step back or two every now and then because the devil's just not going to lay down. But I guarantee you this, I know that the greater one lives inside of us. And I know that we can win and we can fight and we can overcome. Never give up. Never throw in the towel. Know this, that he trains us because God equips us for battle, and then we need to equip our children for battle. Our children can fight the good fight of faith too. I mean, our children go places we don't know, right? What they're doing. I mean, unless you guys got some sort of spy camera on them all the time, right? But, you know, your kids are out there in the thick of it. They're going to places, they're being exposed to things. How do you know that? Because I know my kids, some of the things they've told me that I was unaware of, and I was a kid myself. There was a lot of things I was exposed to that my parents were not aware of, and I never told them about it. And that's how important it is, people, to make sure that we get our kids trained up a little bit in the things of God. That's why it's so important to explain to them certain things about who Jesus Christ is and, you know, what church is really all about and why that we worship God and the things that we do. And, you know, if we don't do that, you know, then they're going to start listening to all these other voices out in the world, and they're not going to have a northern compass, shall we say, something to gauge things from. And it goes on here to talking about a bow of bronze. You know, that's talking about not a metal bow, but they used to have wooden bows, right? Shoot an arrow. Well, then, you know, a stick can only, I mean, some of them bend pretty good, but you get more power the stiffer the stick is, right? So then they had ideas of wrapping some metal around the bow. And with the metal, it made that bow a little bit stronger so that when they shot an arrow, more force. More force, you can penetrate the enemy's armor. Amen? Also, bronze is a picture of judgment, to be able to bring judgment on the enemy. You know, God has called the church to make his enemies his footstool. That's what one of the jobs we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do several jobs. But one of them is to do that, is to be able to make, you know, God's enemies his footstool, to put them down and to put them in their place. And that's not talking about people, that's talking about principalities and powers. But, you know, we need to see that, you know, God will equip us, but that means we need to pay attention a little bit. That means we need to know a little bit of the Word, to get into the Word of God so that we can do that. And, you know, I just know the importance of giving Scripture and getting it into our children. All right, the next passage. Got two left here. Psalms 18, verse 35. Now it says, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great." Talks about a shield of salvation. You know, shields are important in warfare. That's why God wants us to have the shield of faith. Because when the enemy shoots an arrow, what's those, you know, in those arrows that Satan shoots against you and I, are arrows of accusation, arrows of lies, and he shoots those things, and they're trying to penetrate our mind. Because he's pretty smart. He's been around a long time. That he knows that if he can get a lie in our mind and gets us to believe the lie, he's taken us out of the game. Right? Well, one of the lies is, if, you know, God's making you sick to teach you something. Some people believe that. God's given me sickness to teach me something. Well, when that lie gets in our mind, then we're not going to resist it. Like I've always said, if you believe God gives you sickness to teach you something, then you're in sin if you take medicine. But what do? We take medicine, don't we? Why? We don't want to be sick. But see, the enemy wants us to be that way. Because if you're not feeling good, you're not really going to serve God. You're not going to get out there and get her done. If you're laying at home in bed, you're not going to go tell anybody how big your God is, are you? No. He's taking us out of the game. And so we need to be able to overcome that. You know, the Bible talks in Ephesians 6, I believe, you know, talks about the helmet of salvation. You know, why do you need a helmet to guard your brain? Think about it. If you get hit in the head, we've all been hit in the head a time or two, right? I've been hit in the head a time or two. I remember one time my sister hit me in the head with a ball bat. You know. Better than my dad. My dad got hit in the head with a hoe. You know. That really left a mark, I guess. But I got hit in the head with a ball bat. Lord, fortunately for me, I was almost escaping, so it wasn't a full hit. You may find that's hard to believe, but I used to tease my sisters a little bit. You know. But I got whacked in the head. And so if the enemy, I know that he has spoken lies into my life growing up, especially. He can't hardly slip one by anymore because I know too much. How about you? Right? We know too much now to believe those lies. But growing up, he would speak those lies and I was believing them. You know, I was believing I'm not enough. I'm just not good enough. That maybe I'm abandoned. That nobody really wanted me, that nobody cares, all these things. And see, if you believe those long enough, you start living like that. And so we need to break that cycle and that power that he has over us. So then that's why we need the shield of salvation. If you lift your shield up, it blocks the arrows, the lies from coming in. You got the helmet of salvation. If anything gets by the shield, boom, you're still covered. That's why we need all these things. And so then it goes on to say, he protects us, you know, from the lies of the enemy, and his right hand holds us. It talks about the right hand, that's a position of authority. Now, something that's kind of unique here is that he said here that your gentleness makes me great. Have you ever thought about gentleness being something? You know, is anybody here gentle? I wouldn't think that in a warrior, you know what I mean? But gentleness makes us great. And what I see from that is the power of nurturing. You know what it means to nurture somebody, right? To help them grow, to help them, you know, be able to learn things and be in an atmosphere where they can grow properly. You know, I probably would not have been considered a big-time nurturer. I was more of a suck-it-up buttercup type guy, you know. As I look back, I could have been better in that area, you know. But my wife, she was a nurturer. And I believe that's something, I mean, men can do, but I really believe it's something that women can do. And that's a special gift that God's given you. To be able to relate and to be able to speak into your children's lives. And to be able to help them to be. And that it's that gentle spirit, because it's that nurturing is what makes our children great. Being able to relate, because it's simple as this, people. It doesn't matter what we're saying if they're not receiving it. Right? It doesn't matter. We could say something very profound, something life-changing,
something that will just rock and change their world. But if they're not receiving it, it's not going to do anything. And so that's why there has to be, I believe, that gentleness. You know, me, I don't like being yelled at. And when we chase cattle, I got yelled at. I didn't like it. You know, my dad would be pretty chill all the time, but a lot of people, when they get to chasing cattle, they just get all revved up. And I take it personal if you yell at me. I mean, it makes me want to yell right back. So he could have told me anything, but I wouldn't have heard it. But there's times in my life where maybe my mom would say something to me in a little different tone, maybe said the same thing, and I received it. So a lot can be said by nurturing, ladies, and seeing what a great impact that is on our children. Because here's what it boils down to, is the fact that we cannot entrust all the development of our children to the public school and expect the kids are ready for life. Nothing against the public school, but what happens, and I've heard this from parents time and time again, I know I'm getting a little chatty here, but there's some people that will send their kids to church and expect us to teach them everything about God. Now, we do our best. But I'll be honest. An hour and 20 minutes on Wednesday and a little over an hour here at church when they're actually in class, I ain't gonna cut it. Because there's too many other voices out there speaking into their life. And that's why parents need to teach their kids about God at home. Because you're with them all the time. And maybe you don't feel comfortable doing that. Well, come see us. We'll help you. We'll do whatever it takes to get you equipped. And so it's the same thing. A lot of people send their kids to school thinking that the school's going to take care of everything in their life. But the fact of the matter is, the school can't do it. And I'll be honest, I don't agree with everything that the school teaches our children. Sometimes it's diametrically opposed to the teachings of Christ. Why? Because they're not a church. They're not equipped to teach what you and I are supposed to teach them. And so that's why it's important that we get involved with our children's spiritual education. Amen? And so I know it's kind of heavy, but you know, we can do it. We can help you. And if you want help doing that, just let us know. Because, you know, what has to happen, and I talked about chasing cattle, you know, we try to push our children, or we can lead them. And we need to lead them. They'll follow us. You know, if you try to push them, they don't like it. They don't like it. Now, the last verse is verse 36. And this is talking about, it says, you enlarge my steps under me and my feet have not slipped. Okay, enlarging my steps is two things. You know, God clears our path so that we can take bigger steps, right? Have you ever walked through a junk pile? You know what I mean? On some construction jobs, there's this junk everywhere. You step on the wrong thing, you twist your ankle. So you can't take big steps. Well, it's like that in life. If we're out in life and there's so much clutter and so many things in the world, in our pathway, it's hard to really, you know, make big steps. But see, God says there, He's going to clear the pathway. He's going to move it out of the way. He's going to make it so we can take bigger steps. Also, that talks about enlarging your territory. Mothers, you need to enlarge your territory, especially in children's lives. You need to bigger, more. You need to have more influence. There's so much influence that we can do, but we kind of maybe shrink back for whatever reason. So we need to see that we can have influence on our children's lives and to be able to make a difference. Especially, you know, I feel that young women or young girls need to follow a godly woman if you want wisdom. And that's what they need to see in front of them. And I think, you know, young, you know, boys and girls need to see a godly man. I thank God that we have a few men who are teaching the children here in church. They need to see that. They need to see that man in there. So the last point I want to say in closing about being an influencer, and this is going to segue into the fact that we're going to be starting a leadership class on Wednesday night. And basically, leadership is influence. That's what it is. We all influence other people. So life is not about the number of likes we get, but it's about how much of the love of God we can give. That's what's important. We all like it when somebody likes our post, right? Everybody likes to have a like or two, right? Have you ever posted something and nobody liked it? Happens, don't it? Maybe it's a bad algorithm day, I don't know. But see, we need to see that the fact it's about that them things are not important. All these social influencers, it just stirs up flesh, it stirs up carnality. But what's really important is the wisdom and love of God that we are imparting to our children. And I just want to God bless our mothers today, especially in the job that they have, because sometimes we know that you don't get a lot of support. Maybe you are not equally yoked in your marriage, and that makes it harder. Maybe you're a single mom. Even for a married man and woman raising the children, if they're even on the same page, it's sometimes hard. But I do believe this, with God, all things are possible. And he can help us through that. Amen.